It is the verses 1 to 6 of Romans chapter 2 that I want to consider this evening. But in verse 3 we get a real flavour of what we want to consider. Really we want to think about self-righteousness and hypocrisy. And in verse 3 we read Paul asks Jews in the Roman congregation a question. And we read there, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" There is an old Indonesian story about the tale of a tiger. A farmer one night was on his way home to his little Indian village, when all of a sudden, just on the trail that he was on, he could see a long tiger's tail just sitting there. It belonged to a tiger that was hiding in a bush in the waiting for him. Forgetting himself, he had been out all day and he had been in the forest, he had been cutting. And he simply threw his scythe down and he jumped for the tiger's tail and he grabbed the tiger's tail. He struggled for a little while and continued to hold on to the tail despite the efforts of the tiger to loosen. All of a sudden on the same trail, there was an Indian holy man, a chief of the tribe, and he noticed this struggling man. The man said to him, "Look, I'm struggling with this tiger. I have his tail in my hand. Can you please grab my scythe and kill this tiger? I can't hold on for much longer." But the man replied, "This I cannot do, sir. My religion forbids me to kill any living creature." Of course, the man was worried. He said, "Look, this tiger is going to kill me. You must kill it." But again, the man refused. The struggle continued for a little while. And eventually the man said, "Well, you could do me one thing. You don't have to kill the tiger, but you can hold on to his tail. And I'll run and I'll get my scythe and then I will slay the tiger myself." The holy man came to himself and he said, "Well, I suppose I could do that. I suppose I could hold on to an animal's tail." And of course, this man grabbed the tail. As soon as he did that, the Indian farmer, he ran, and he got his coat and he got his hat. He placed his hat upon him. He placed his coat upon him as well. And he then said to this holy man, who now had the tiger's tail in his hand, "Sir, you are a most excellent teacher. You have completely converted me to your religion. I know I cannot kill this tiger myself, for it is now against the rules of my religion. For us holy men to kill, it is wrong. I'm now going to go my village. You must hang on to the tiger's tail for me. Have a little talk with him, and perhaps you can convert him as well." And we then find that the farmer ran as fast as he could to his village, leaving the holy man with the tiger's tail in his hand. Is it not true tonight that often self-righteousness, this is the impact of self-righteousness? We are so often like that holy man. We come along and we try to excuse ourselves and try to justify what we do. But all the while we end up like him. We end up holding the tiger's tail of sin. Because the Bible reminds us that the sin of self-righteousness and hypocrisy, it will always be found out. Indeed, the Word of God reminds us in Numbers that our sin will find us out. And here we find in Romans chapter 1 this principle that sin finds us out demonstrated in the lives of different types of sinner. In Romans chapter 1 you see this principle with the heinous sinner. There we read openly of flagrant heinous sins all being judged. Verses 29 through to 31 we have there a list of some of the most deplorable sins in society. And yet we find that at the end of this long catalogue of sins, we then read verse 32, they know the judgment of God. Paul was speaking here of Gentiles. And he was speaking of Gentiles who were guilty of some of the most gross sins in society. And he stated there at the end of the chapter, they know the judgment of God. In other words, those who are guilty of this sin, the sin of immorality, the sin of debating, the sin of arguing. He states they know that they will be judged for this. In chapter 1, we have the heinous sinner. But then in chapter 2, Paul completely shifts focus. For there you then have the hypocritical sinner. Those who take themselves, take their own lives. They compare themselves with others. And quite frankly, they turn their nose up at them. When they compare themselves against others, they feel that they are fine. And Paul then asks this searching question in verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You see, tonight, whether you be a heinous sinner like Romans 1, or a hypocritical sinner like Romans 2, it matters not, because the Bible reminds us that you will still be judged. Oh, tonight, you could be like those in Romans 1, and guilty of some of the most deplorable, the most depraved sins that this world knows of. Or you could be like those in chapter 2, and just be guilty of the sin of hypocrisy. But it matters not. Because Paul reminds us that no matter what category, what class of sin you fall into, you will still be judged. God always judges, whether it be heinous or whether it be hypocrisy. God always judges sin. And so tonight, I want us just to focus in with Paul here in these opening verses of Romans chapter 2. And I want us to consider God's judgment upon the hypocrite. God's judgment upon the hypocrite. I want you to notice firstly here the feelings of the hypocrite. The feelings of the hypocrite. Verse 1 we read, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Paul is writing in this chapter to show that whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, it doesn't matter. We are all guilty before God. He spoke at length in chapter 1 to show the Gentiles were guilty of some of the most vile sins and they were condemned. And now he then moves the argumentation over to the privileged Jews in chapter 2. You think of how privileged the Jews were. And there were some sitting in the Roman congregation, in the Roman church, there at Rome. Yes, it was a mainly Gentile pagan church, but there were those who were Jews sitting in that congregation. And they would have known their Old Testament. They would have known how favored a people they were. They would have known the fact that they were given God's law. They were the nation that God committed the oracles of God to. They were God's special and favored people. And you often find that as you read through your Old Testament and even your New, that the Jews were a hypocritical and self-righteous people. They always looked down at the Gentiles. They viewed them as the offscouring of God. And we find that there were Jews in this church in Rome, and what were they doing? Well, they were looking at the great sinners in society and the great sinners in Rome. They were looking at those from verses 29 to 31, and they were measuring themselves with this type of sin. Immorality, murder, theft, and so on. And what were they saying? Well, they were saying, well, we're fine. We're God's privileged people. We're God's special people. We're God's favored people. And so God will judge these wicked sinners, but he'll not judge us. They saw themselves then as righteous before God. But what does Paul say? Well, he states, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. In other words, they were guilty of doing exactly the same thing. They were guilty of committing these terrible sins, these deplorable sins. Unrighteousness, fornication, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers. But the Jew felt to himself, because I'm part of God's favored people, and I'm part of God's privileged people. But you know, I can do this and get away with it. Oh, he'll judge the Gentile for doing that, but he'll not judge me. And you could be like the Jew and indignant at the sins of others, and yet all the while indulgent of your own. You could condemn others for committing sin, and yet be very guilty of doing the same things yourself. How good is it to have the feeling of the Jew in Romans chapter 2? And you look at others, and you see some of the guilty, the terrible sins that they commit. And what do? You measure yourself with them. You think, well, God will judge them, but he'll not judge me. You look at the Adolf Hitlers of this world, and you look at the gross, terrible men and wicked leaders of this world, and you say, well, God will judge them, but he'll not judge me. Or you perhaps compare yourself even with your neighbor, and I'm talking about your neighbor in the sense of man, not your next door neighbor. But you look at the sins of others and you say, well, God will judge them, but he'll not judge me. I'm a Free Presbyterian. I am privileged. I do this and I do that. And yet all the while you fail to see that you are guilty before the Lord. Just as guilty as them. Paul reminds us of such a spirit. And he actually condemns it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read in verse 12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And he stated there were those in the Corinthian church. And what did they do? Well, they compared themselves with those sitting beside them and those sitting behind them. And they said, well, sure, I'm fine. God will not judge me. God will not punish me. You see, you could be mindful of the sins of others and yet forgetful of your own. And tonight, this is the essence of hypocrisy. This is what it is. You could point out the great sinners in society. The drunkard. The thief. The adulterer, the extortioner, the debater, the malicious, the angry, and yet all the while within your heart, be just as guilty. Of course, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that even if we have the desire for lust, then we're just as guilty as the adulterer. And the Bible tells us that if we have the desire within our hearts for hatred against another, that we're just as guilty as the murderer. Oh, tonight, don't be a self-righteous a sinner, and pride yourself in the little religious homage that you pay God, and somehow think that God will judge others, but you'll be okay. This was the spirit of Romans chapter 2. The Jews, they felt they were favored. They felt they were fine. God will judge the Gentiles, but sure, we'll get off with it. We're guilty of doing exactly the same things, but we're God's special people. We'll be fine. And they were incorrect in their thinking. You know, Ronald Reagan once addressed a large crowd in Mexico. And he found that as he was making the address, whenever he sat down, being the president, he was expecting quite an applause, but there was only a couple of people that clapped. And then after him, there was a man, and he was a Mexican governor. And he stood up, and he spoke in Spanish to the crowd. And every 2 seconds, after he maybe said 2 or 3 words, he got this huge applause. Reagan didn't understand it. So he felt, well, I'll just fit in. And every time the crowd began to clap their hands, Reagan, he began to clap his hands. And then as he noticed it, he clapped longer and he clapped louder. He didn't want to miss out. And then his ambassador leaned over beside him and said, Ronald, I wouldn't do that if I were you. He's interpreting the speech you've just given. And you know, men are like that, aren't they? They pat themselves on the back for the good that they have done, and they look down their nose at others. And yet all the while, God says here in verse 1, thou judgest another, and you condemn yourself. You condemn yourself. Oh, you could look down your nose at the sins of others, and all the while be guilty of doing the same things yourself. Don't make the same mistake. Don't make the same mistake of feeling just like the self-righteous, hypocritical Jew here in these verses. It was the feelings of the hypocrite. But I want to take you a step further because we notice secondly here the findings of the hypocrite. Verse 3, we read, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Paul was writing to a predominantly Gentile church, but there were Jews in amongst them as well. And here he is addressing them specifically in these verses. And he has already addressed the hypocritical feelings of the Jewish mindset. And now he appeals to their common sense. You find Paul doing this sometimes. He gives them a logical argument, and especially in Romans, and then he appeals to their mind. He appeals to their common man, their common sense. And what is he saying? Well, he's saying simply this. You condemn Gentiles for doing this, doing these sins. You condemn them. You say God will judge them. And you're right. You're right to do this. But you're guilty of doing the same thing. And yet somehow you think that God will pass you by. And he then appeals to their common sense and he asks them basically, why do you think that somehow you'll escape God's judgment, but the Gentiles won't? And the Jew found out that just as the Gentile was condemned and judged, so they would also be condemned and judged. You see, like the Jew, whilst you may be privileged, yet your sin will still be punished. You will be punished despite your privileges. And tonight you are privileged. Those in Romans chapter 1, when you look at the context, you discover that they didn't have a written copy of Scripture. They didn't have a written form of God's Word. Yes, they had conscience and they had the Lord working in their heart. The conscience was telling them right and wrong, as you read here in Romans 2. They would have been aware of these things, but not to the same extent as those who were privileged. Not to the same extent as the Jew. And tonight you are privileged. You have a full canon of God's Word in your very hand. You're privileged. You know, as it were, what God says and what God doesn't say. You have God's law. You know God's law. You hear it. And yet all the while, you might condemn others and yet be guilty of doing the same thing yourself. And tonight I'm going to appeal to your common sense. And I'm going to ask you the question that Paul asked the Jews. Do you think somehow that others will be punished, but you won't? The question is asked then, what is really so special about you that is not so special about others? And when you look at yourself and you look at Scripture, you discover there's nothing. There's nothing. Nothing special, nothing that separates and sets apart any man in this world apart from the grace of God. Romans 3 tells us that God concludes all under sin. All. Without exception. Whether we be heinous or hypocritical, whether we be privileged or not privileged. He concludes all under sin. And so tonight, it doesn't matter the nature of the sin, whether it is hypocrisy, or a terrible, deplorable, despicable sin, God will punish you nonetheless. God will judge you. You will be condemned just like others. You think of David. David found this out to his shame. You remember the incidents in 2 Samuel. He had committed adultery and he had murdered as well. And then the Lord left David to stew in his sin for a while. And then the Lord came to Nathan the prophet and said to Nathan, go to David and tell him a story. And then after you tell him the story, then show him how he is guilty of sin. And of course this man did. Nathan came to David and he told him a story about a man who had just one little lamb. And then he told him a story about a man who had many lambs. And he was privileged. Yet this man who had many lambs came to the man who had one lamb and took this lamb for his personal feast. And David heard this and he said, that's terrible. And he was king and he said in 2 Samuel 12 verse 5, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. He says, let's punish him. Nathan, where is he? We'll go and find him now. He deserves to die for his hypocrisy. David then said, thou art the man, David. And in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, we read David's response. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, and listen to it, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. When you put it all together, what do we learn? David realized that he deserved to be punished, that he actually deserved to be judged by God for his sin of hypocrisy. And that's why Nathan had to say to him, your sin's punished, it's purged, it's forgiven, you'll not die. Because David felt that he would die for his sin of hypocrisy. You see, as God will condemn your neighbor's sin, so he will also condemn your sin. He will punish both accordingly. You see, there are no differences with God. Verse 6 reminds us of this. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. And one day you'll stand before the Lord. And it will not matter privilege, it will not matter person, because the word also reminds us in Romans 3 that God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of nationality. He is no respecter of spirituality. He will render to every man according to his deeds. And you may disdain your neighbor and look down upon your neighbor and disregard them and try and hold yourself up in a better light. But what are we learning tonight? You're no better. Yes, you may be privileged, but before the Lord you are no better. And God will repay you according to that which you've done. You know, there was a zoo and it was known for its very, very varied collection of animals. One day the prized sight in the zoo, the gorilla, it passed away. The zookeeper, he worried about it. What am I going to do? Can't find another gorilla like that anywhere in this world. So he came up with a plan. He came to a man that he knew and he gave him a gorilla suit. And he said to him, you put on the suit and you pretend to be a gorilla. On his first day in the job, he wasn't very good. He began to jump about just like a gorilla. But he then jumped backwards and he didn't realize that the lion's den was just behind him. And he fell straight into the lion's den. And there he sat there. And sure enough, after a while, the lion came out of its little area. It weighed him up. It looked at him. And then it walked gradually towards him. Of course, you can imagine him in this suit. He thinks that this is it now. I'm sure I'm gone. Then the lion perched himself beside the gorilla. And he said to him, what are you doing monkeying around like that? Be quiet. You'll get us both fired. And you know, God will pull away the gorilla suit of pretense and the gorilla suit of self-righteousness. And God will punish you. Oh, tonight realize, God is no respecter of persons. And you may feel yourself to be better than others, but I trust tonight that you find out, just like the Jews, that God will judge you just as he judges your neighbor. The feelings of the hypocrite and the findings of the hypocrite. I want you to see thirdly here the forgetfulness of the hypocrite. Verse 4 we read, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The word despise here, it means to treat with contempt, to treat with neglect. And here we find the Jews, they had been treating God with contempt or neglect. What was their thinking? Well, they thought to themselves, God hasn't come in judgment, he hasn't cut us off, and so they continued to enjoy prosperity, and they felt as if they were innocent and safe. God hadn't come yet. He hadn't judged them, and so they felt to themselves, well, all is well. All is fine. You see, God had been long-suffering with them and forbearing. We read of this in this verse. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. The word forbearance here, it means a holding in or a restraint of wrath. Whilst the word long-suffering, it really has the idea of slowness to anger. And what was Paul saying here to these right self-righteous Jews? He was saying, look, God's been good to you. He's withheld his anger. He has not vented out his wrath upon you yet. God's goodness should lead you to repentance, knowing God that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He said it should have led you to turn. It should have led you to turn from sin and rest in Christ. But instead it hasn't. Because God hasn't judged you yet, yet you can still continue on in your sin of hypocrisy. You see, God's forbearance of you should not be presumed. It should be perceived. You should understand God's long suffering and forbearance. And tonight, just like the Jew, God has been good to you. Has he not? And I ask you the question that Paul asked these Jews. Know not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God hasn't judged you yet. He's been long-suffering to you. He's been forbearing with you. He has put up with you, as it were, and your sin, and your lack of turning to him. And this should turn you to repentance. This should not lead you to the spirit of the Jew and continue on and persist on and plow on in your sin. You should not be presumptuous. You need to understand that God is being good to you to lead you to repentance, not to continue on in your sin. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. We read there, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In the context, Solomon speaks of seeing the wicked go to the house of God and come from the house of God and being buried. I saw the wicked buried. And he takes this and he then speaks to those who are wicked, those who had neglected God's mercy. And he said, you should have seen the death of the wicked as a warning. But instead, what was their sentiment? Well, we read of it. Sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, and so they're set to do evil. In other words, because God didn't come and judge them immediately, their heart was set on evil. Their heart was set in wickedness. Their heart was set on persisting on in sin and pleasure. You see, God's long suffering should not lead you to negligence, nor indulgence, but repentance. It should lead you to turn to him. Tonight God has spared you. He could have cut you off in a moment after you sinned just once time, but he hasn't. He has spared you. He's been long-suffering. He's been good. And so I ask you the question, knoweth not that the goodness of God should lead you to repentance? This goodness should take you and it should urge you to flee to him with all of your hearts, not to persist on in sin. Sadly, this is not the case with the Jew. Because we find that after their feelings and their findings and their forgetfulness, Paul, he then writes to them and he speaks then of their fate. In verse 5 we read then of the fate of the hypocrite. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Paul was saying that the goodness of God, the forbearance of God, the long suffering of God, it should have led these hypocritical Jews to repentance. But it seems that they persisted on in their self-righteousness, feeling themselves to be much better than the Gentiles around them. And how does he describe them now? Having a hard and impenitent heart. In other words, they refused to repent. That's what impenitent means. Refusing to repent. And they were stubborn. They had a hard heart against God. And what was the result of this impenitence? Well, we read here in this verse, they treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The word treasurest up here, it has the idea of storing something up or accumulating something. And here we find, what were they doing, these Jews? They were accumulating, they were storing up God's wrath that one day would be poured out upon them. Because he speaks there of the day of wrath and the righteous judgment of God. In other words, he was saying this, look, you feel yourself to be better than others. And you think to yourself that you can persist on in your sin. But he said there's a day of wrath coming. And God's righteous judgment will be revealed on that day. And all the while you're storing up sin and storing up wrath, but one day that wrath will be vented against you. You see, the self-righteous sinner and the stubborn sinner is a sliding sinner. He is sliding further every day into perdition. And tonight, what a thought. What a thought in closing, that God is accumulating. God is treasuring up your impenitence and your sin. But one day, whatever he's storing it in, and in fact Revelation talks about the vials of wrath, one day, whatever he's storing that sin in, one day it will reach its top. And then it'll be vented. Then it will be poured out. Then his wrath will be vented against you. And so tonight, I ask you the question again in closing. Do you think somehow that God will simply pass your sin by? That God will judge others but pass you by? And we've taken that question to its logical conclusion tonight and seen that the answer is most definitely no. And tonight you're treasuring up sin. Why not recognize that God's been good? That God has been long-suffering. He's given you another opportunity tonight. And why should that not then, as Paul said here, lead you to repentance? And I trust tonight that the Word of God will have such an impact upon your soul that you would recognize God's mercy and that you would come to Him in repentance.